You are listening to the Hill City Church Podcast. Our mission is to become and make disciples who walk with God, connect with people, and impact the world. Today we are starting a brand new teaching series called Run the Race. We are exploring a metaphor found really throughout the New Testament, especially in Paul's letters. And here's the metaphor: following Jesus is like running a marathon. Now, I just want to get this out of the way right here at the beginning. Not everybody likes running. So really quick, I mean, anyone, if you're in the room and you like, you go for a run, you like running, maybe it's not your favorite thing, but you like to run, just show of hands. How many of you like to run? Okay, not bad. How many of you, running is like the last thing that you ever want to do? Okay, don't worry. This is only a 6-week teaching series for those of you who don't like running. And here's my promise to you. Hopefully, you know, we're gonna be squeezing all the lessons that we can learn from this biblical metaphor about the correlation between really endurance, running, endurance sports, and faith. But even if you're here and running is like the last thing that you would want to do, my promise to you is that I'm not going to try to convince you to become a runner at the end of the series, but there's still great value in this metaphor. There's great lessons that we can learn. But full disclosure, I like to run, okay? So you also have to know that this is a series that I've thought about for years. I've been running since I was 10 or 11 years old. I used to, there was a gas station about a mile and a half from my house where I grew up in Alaska called Curry's Corner. And old man Curry was always at the front desk, and he was like the meanest person you'll ever meet in your life. And I would run. I would just like, from my front door, my parents were cool with it, I guess, you know, and I would run, like, I just start, there's this passion that I have. Here's a picture of me, in fact, to prove it. There's me. Can you spot me on the picture? I'm on the far left right there. That's last June in the Utah Valley Marathon, and this was a race that I was so nervous about. Because I went down there by myself, I didn't know a soul, and then about 5 or 6 miles in, I found this group. And I look pretty happy in that picture. Can you tell? There's a few of us there, like the guy in the middle, not so sure how he's doing. But like, I was by myself and I'm like, what's going to happen? And I kind of found this group, especially the lady who's right next to me. Her name is Amy. And she was just like chatting. Like, she was like, what's your name? You know? And we found each other. And there was, even in like this really tough, right, like a marathon, even in the midst of like we're all like trying to run fast, there is kind of this sense of joy in it. And I hope that you would find that maybe in this church community, that you would have found kind of your pack, your group of people that you can run with. In fact, in that race, I qualified for the Boston Marathon, which I'm running next week with my friend Ryan, who's here, and my brother Andrew, the three of us. If you want to be praying for our race, it's a week from tomorrow. And this is kind of crazy. I started even like this year posting like videos. Here's my social. If you go to my social media page, you'll see a lot of pics. There's Mustache Josh right there. On my vacation, I always like to grow a mustache. And you'll see three things. If you were to go to my social media page, you'll see sermon clips. There's probably going to be a sermon clip from today's sermon on my social media page. You'll see pictures of my family, and you'll see running videos. And that's like an honest, like that's an accurate representation of my life. So if you're interested in watching any of those videos, you can always check those out online. But it's honestly starting, this is something I haven't really posted about a lot, except for like the last few months, because it's a little, honestly, intimidating. Like, posting videos of yourself exercising, right? You can see there's a little like self-conscious stuff in there. But I just recognize that not everyone, like for maybe for some of you, like, I'm not a runner, but I'm interested. Like, I'd love to watch a video about that or whatever. But there's a lot of people who are like, here's the question that they're asking. Why run? You know what I'm saying? I as someone who's, yeah, some of you are here. Don't you get sweaty? Don't you get out of breath? Do you enjoy having a high heart rate? Do you love the feeling of pain and suffering? And it's like, why? Why run? I've been running for more than 2 decades, and I've been asked this question countless times. When people are like, as our family's grown and we have kids, I used to have lots of hobbies. I used to play video games and stuff, right? But the more that like our family has grown and I've become busy, like all of my hobbies have whittled down to only the most important things. And I can honestly say, when someone says, "What do you do for fun?" the one thing I can still say is I go out and I go running. That's like my one hobby that I still do. And people often respond with, "Why? Why wouldn't you pick video games over that? Like, pick something like better for a hobby." And the truth is, I want to show you another picture from later on in this marathon race. That's me. Not at mile 5 or 6, that's me at mile 22 or so, and I'm not smiling anymore. I'm in the pain cave, and I'm all alone. Amy was way ahead of me at this point in the race, okay? And those are the moments that maybe for some of you, you're here and you're running a lot, you're following Jesus, you're like going to church, you're serving, you're enjoying. For some of you, you're in the pain cave of life right now, and you feel like you're all alone and everyone else has kind of left you. And these are the moments where you need a compelling reason why. Why not just stop? There's an aid station. They've got lots of good snacks. Just call it in. Just walk to the finish line. Why keep going? I mean, to be honest, as much as like I love running, it's one of my lifelong hobbies, all this sort of stuff, the question is like, did I really pay money to be doing this? why do I keep signing up for these races? Like, and this is something we need to, not just in the metaphor of running, in following Jesus, here's the question you need to answer. Why follow Jesus? Because the reality is, suffering comes, trials come, difficult times come. I mean, to someone who's not yet a follower of Jesus, they might look at you and they might ask you, why? Why would you give up time on a Sunday? Why would you serve? Why would you give your money away? Why would you put your reputation at risk being known as a Christian? Why? And for each of us, we need a compelling reason why in those moments. Why show up to the starting line? That's what we're talking about today. That's a worthwhile question. As a follower of Jesus, you need a compelling answer to the reason why. Because we all experience resistance in our faith. You ready to jump into this new series? Even if you're not a runner, you ready for this? All right. I want to start off by just simply saying, everyone is running after something. True? I mean, it's a false belief that choosing not to follow Jesus, opting out of that, means that you're just sitting on the sidelines. That's not actually true. Everyone is running after something in their life. And I just want to pose that question to you. If you were to look at your life, if somebody maybe on the outside would look in on your life, what would they say you are running after? What race are you in, to use the metaphor? Where are you going in life? I mean, think about that. What are the things that you spend most of your time doing? What are the things that you spend? I mean, you want to look at where someone's going in life, look at their schedule. What do they spend most of their time doing? Look at their budget. What do they spend most of their money on? Where does all of your energy go towards? Maybe another way to think about this is, what gets you the most excited in your life? First thing in the morning, what's on your mind? Last thing before you go to bed, what keeps you up at night? Not just what are you excited about, but what gets you the most worried if it were taken away from you? You start to ask these kind of questions and really look at it with an honest lens, and you recognize that everyone is running after something. This is what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6, this is verse 31. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things. And we might say, run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Jesus is talking about the concern for our physical life here on earth. And specifically, this is kind of a springboard off of his teaching on money, talking about people who have, you know, worldliness, have the riches of this world and materialism, consumerism as their God, as their master. And he's just saying that, man, if you just look at many people's lives, that's the race that they're in. He who dies with the most toys still dies, right? And so there's this idea, but it's not just materialism that might be the race that you're in. I mean, think about all the different directions that people are going in life. Is it a quest for safety and comfort? I just want to live kind of a peaceful life where everything is kind of at ease. Is it a quest for success? That's the race that you're in. That's honestly, you just want to climb that ladder. Is it for popularity? I want to have the most friends. I want to have the best friend group, even the best family. Is it for beauty? Is it for fitness, right? We got to be careful. This metaphor of running isn't become, again, an idol in my life or your life. Is it for pleasure? Is it for riches? What is the race that you're running in? See, when we identify this, what Jesus is saying is you can seek after or run after all those things, or you can run towards his kingdom. And those are our two options. And so the question isn't, are you running? The question is really, where are you going? And when you get there, are you sure that it's where you want to be? In another metaphor that Jesus uses later in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 7, this time in verse 13, he says this, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." This time Jesus lays out these two options by talking about the idea of a road or a path. And he says that everyone is on a road. Again, there's no option to just opt out and be on the sidelines. Everyone, their life is heading a certain direction. And it's your direction that determines your destination. Does that make sense? It's the way that you're actually going, not your intention. Have you ever driven the wrong direction? Because you thought you were headed the right direction, right? But it's the actual direction of your life that determines the destination. It's the race that you sign up for that determines the finish line of that race. And what Jesus is laying out for us, he's saying all other paths other than himself as the way, the truth, and the life, all of those other paths will leave you unfulfilled, empty. He uses the words destruction and death. His is the only path that leads to life. And I'm here to tell you that this is the most compelling reason, I would say the foundational reason, why follow Jesus? Because he is the only one who has the power to offer you eternal life. Amen? He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the gate in which we enter onto this path towards life. Not that by running harder you earn eternal life. We have to recognize there's going to be limitations of this metaphor. All metaphors have a limit and break down at a certain point. And I just want to clarify that eternal life found in Christ is accomplished not by your own work, not by your own effort, but by the work that Jesus accomplished for you on the cross. Through his death, burial, and resurrection, you can be raised up into a new life in him. And so eternal life is received as a gift, not achieved by human effort. And yet there must be at least some willingness to say yes. Yes, I will follow you. Yes, I will receive your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness. Yes, I want to be saved. And I just want to invite you, if you've never said yes to Jesus through baptism, I want to invite you to sign up to get baptized, hillcityboise.org/baptism. I think we're actually celebrating a baptism next Sunday. Can we celebrate that? And you can watch. We have a 30-minute, I think it's actually less than 30 minutes. If you're like, well, I don't have a full 30 minutes. A 30-minute video on baptism on our website, Hill City Boise. And I just go through in that video the top 7 questions that people have about baptism. Whenever I talk to them, these questions always pop up. And maybe you have some of those same sorts of questions. I want to encourage you to watch that video. But in that video, one of the lines I use is that baptism is the starting line, not the finish line for faith, right? Baptism, the point isn't like, let's get you in the water and then there you go, that's it. That there's this beautiful life that God has for you. He has a plan and a purpose for you. There's this journey, a lifelong journey of following Jesus. But if you've never made it to the starting line, I want to invite you to say yes to Jesus through baptism. But even if you've said yes to Jesus, eternal life, the hope of heaven, is this beautiful finish line for us in our faith, right? That's what we have waiting for us. The question, it begs the question, well, what about today? Well, yeah, that makes sense why I would want to be saved one day. And people kind of get this idea, like, maybe on my deathbed, I'd like to be saved. But what about today? What about, like, what's the motivation, not just the finish line? Because there's a big difference in being in a race because you want to finish the race or being in the race because you want to be there. Does that make sense? In fact, I know a guy, when I was a kid growing up in church, there was a young adult at that church, and he was awesome. He kind of, like, hung out with me and my brother, like a mentor to us, that sort of thing. And he was kind of this hardcore guy. He was not a runner, but he signed up for a marathon and did zero training for the marathon. And that, he finished the marathon, and that will be the last race he ever runs because he just messed up his knees. Like, he's like, yep, and I'll never run again because I did that. So he was running the race only for the finish, to say, I did it. And you see that? There's a difference between someone who their only motivation is to get to the finish line versus someone who has that ongoing motivation. I would say an internal or an intrinsic motivation that keeps you going step by step, mile by mile, for us as followers of Jesus, day by day. Do you want to limp across the finish line? Or do you want to finish strong, church? Come on. You want to have that daily motivation. That it's not just this average kind of go to church until you die, struggle with sin until you die, or do you want the living power of God fueling your purpose and your passion every day? Amen? Come on, church. I want that. I don't want this mediocre, lukewarm, barely walking along. I want to finish strong. And so let's open to Hebrews chapter 12. Do you want to see that? This is where this metaphor comes from. Hebrews chapter 12. Beautiful passage about faith. It says this, it is Hebrews 12 verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. This is a powerful passage. This is the passage, not just our teaching text for today, this is kind of the passage for this six-week series. We're gonna be diving deep into this idea. And if you take this picture of spiritual growth and following Jesus is like running a marathon, it's not a sprint, it's not this over in a flash, it's this lifelong journey of following Jesus. We recognize that spiritual growth isn't automatic. It doesn't just happen because you're saved. That there's this idea of actually following him step by step. The word race is the Greek word agon. That's where we get the English word agony. And this is where the typical kind of American Christian idea starts to crumble and fade away. That I was following Jesus, I became a Christian because of the benefits. Because it's easy and my life will be better and I'll be happy and I'll never get sick and nobody, does that make sense? And this kind of destroys that. According to Jesus, it's a lot more like taking up your cross and dying. And so this is a really difficult thing. Running a marathon is a very difficult thing, okay? And so we have to have this like, so how do you keep going? How do you not only run, but how do you run with endurance? How do you keep going strong every step of the way? And the first step is honestly this idea of setting aside, putting off, throwing away the things that hinder you, specifically sin. Strip away sin. Now this is kind of it's going to get a little awkward for a moment in this metaphor. In the ancient world, they did the ancient Olympics, right? So this was kind of the metaphor. They would compete naked. Okay, I'll just say it. It's true. Okay, you could like there's little, and don't Google image search it or anything, but we know this from history, right? And so that's kind of the picture. That there's this like, you know, picture everyone's at this, and like they didn't have like spandex, okay? So if they had spandex and the, you know, the sports material, maybe they would have done that. But they would, that was like, you would get to the starting line of like a race in the Olympics, and they would, all right, everyone was like stripped down. But imagine somebody's like, I don't want to do that. I'm going to wear my big robe, and I'm going to wear, you know, I'm going to wear my winter jacket and my snow pants, or, and they were all bundled up. Who do you think's going to win that race? Not the person who's being weighed down. Or maybe here's a better image, rather than just clothing, because you could say, like, well, you could still wear clothes and you could still kind of run. Imagine another metaphor for sin, and that's as chains. Imagine, so have you ever done like a three-legged race, right, where you're like chained up with someone else? You're like, one of your legs is roped up. That's very, man, that's crazy race, right? Imagine that, but you have like sin that you're chained to. And now it's not just like you're wearing baggy clothing and everyone else is free to run, but you're like chained up. And you're, or imagine this metaphor. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Lazarus is in the tomb and he's got these grave clothes. His hands are bound and his feet are bound, and that's why Jesus says unbind him. Imagine you're at the starting line and you're still wearing the grave clothes, right? And we need to be unbound. We need to be unhindered when it comes to running the race. And the first thing is to strip away sin, to look at those sins that characterize your old life before Christ. What are those things for you? And I would just be honest, are there any of those things today that are still binding you, that you're still shackled to? Is it covetousness? You're jealous of other people? Is it envy? Is it criticism? You're just hypercritical. Is it laziness? Is it hatred? Is it lust? Is it ungratefulness? Is it pride? Are there, like, pray and ask the Holy Spirit, are there any things that are weighing me down in my walk with God? And as often as the Holy Spirit brings those things to mind, it's called conviction. Would you set those things aside? Would you throw those things away? This is what Paul says in Ephesians 4:22. He says, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. It's Ephesians 4:22, and he uses the same idea of like change out of those clothes. You have to put those things aside. But the thing is, it's not just stripping away sin, because sin isn't the only thing that can actually weigh you down. It's also distractions. It's also things that are just, maybe they're not sinful, but they're not helping you. In fact, they're holding you back. Is it just a gratuitous amount of screen time on your phone? Is it shopping and materialism, and you can't think about God's kingdom because you're thinking about the outfit, or you're thinking about the new pair of shoes, or you're thinking about whatever that thing is that you want to buy? Is it overworking? Again, working, not a sin, but it can easily be something that holds you back, right? If it gets to a certain level. Is it entertainment? It's like this new series is just so addicting, right? The language that we use for these kind of things, we know they're not helping us, right? Is it hobbies? Is it vacation? Is it, what are those things? And again, I'm not, those aren't sinful things necessarily, but if they get out of hand, they can be distractions that are holding you back from following Jesus, as we say at Hill City Church, following Jesus with everything. The goal is not just to limp through the race or to drag those things, to drag those chains through the race. The goal is to run with endurance. The word for run is the Greek word trekko, and it means to run, to hurry, to race, or to exert yourself. And it's this idea, it's not going slow. It's like, we want to run, right? We want to really run. And this idea of exerting yourself, again, it might come as a surprise to someone. I thought just because the Holy Spirit was in me, spiritual fruit was automatically going to grow. Well, we have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. We have to actually walk with the Holy Spirit. Again, a fitness metaphor. Come on, people. We've got to get going. We've got to be obedient. We've got to listen to the voice of Christ and go the way that he calls us to. And effort. That we have to cooperate with him. Dallas Willard has this famous quote. He says, grace is not opposed to effort, it's opposed to earning. And so grace means we're not earning our salvation. We're not earning more favor from God, but there's still effort involved in our walk, in our discipleship, in growing towards maturity in Christ. And so Paul continues this metaphor in Ephesians 4, 23 and 24, picking up on the idea of it, we have to put off the old self, but then he says this, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. So that's something that God does to you. It's passive. You are renewed in the spirit of your minds. But then he says this, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So you are being renewed, but you also have a job to do. You've got to put on the new self. This is a daily, this is an active thing that we do every single day. It's a daily decision to follow Jesus, to be obedient to him. And here's what I would say is the best motivation for this. The best example is we have to look to Jesus. That's what the author of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 12. Look to Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. And so let's just look at Jesus here for just a few moments, okay? Let's look to Jesus. He had a race set before him, and that race took him where? It took him to the cross. That was his finish line, right? I mean, it gives a whole new meaning to the last words of Christ on the cross. It is finished. He's like, that was incredibly hard. And I crossed the finish line. I did what the Father sent me to do. And so he had a race, and he ran with endurance, even though, think of him in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? Where he's having this almost like crisis, like, Father, if it be your will, would you take this cup from me, you know? Where he knows the wrath, he knows the suffering, he knows that it's going to be, is the most difficult thing that anyone's ever accomplished was the suffering that Jesus faced on the cross. True? It's true. And he's got drops of blood mixed with sweat coming out of his forehead before the whip has even touched his back because he knows what he's about to face. And yet the author of Hebrews, and this is, I would say, like somewhat of a unique theological insight in Hebrews 12, has the audacity to say Jesus endured that for the joy that was set before him. Seems almost like a paradox, doesn't it? Okay, there's a stained glass of the Garden of Gethsemane. His soul is sorrowful to the point of death. The pain, the suffering, the crown of thorns, he did it for the joy. And yet you can actually hold suffering and joy simultaneously. And anyone who's run a marathon actually knows how that goes. That there's this internal reminder of why you're suffering, even if every single step hurts. And so Jesus knew what was on the other side of that finish line. He would be raised to life on the third day. He would ascend to the right hand of the Father where he's seated, he's ruling, he's reigning, he's in glory right now. Amen? And so He had the finish line in mind, certainly. And there's joy knowing, and honestly, that's one of the things that makes suffering unbearable, isn't it? Not knowing that it will end one day. And so we must always keep that in mind as followers of Jesus. Christ is coming back. He's going to make all things new. Every tear will be wiped away. There's a certainty of our hope in heaven, and that's a beautiful thing that keeps us going, even in spite of the trials and the suffering. And yet, I think the joy for Christ was not just, yep, it's all going to be over one day, and I'm going to be, you know, back in heaven, the right hand of the Father. I think there was a joy in the heart of Christ Jesus knowing what he was accomplishing, saving humanity. There was a joy knowing there was not just a finish line, but there's a point. There's a purpose. There's deep meaning. In fact, you might say that the joy set before Christ was you and me. Knowing what he would accomplish for us, the love that he showed to us. In fact, that's why we know the essence of true love is Christ's death on a cross. And so we actually can learn, we can look to Christ and see the motivation that allowed him to endure the race set before him and then the race set before us, we can learn that same mindset. And here's a mindset I want to encourage you to adopt. I want to encourage you to adopt the amateur mindset, okay? If you're taking notes, I want you to write down this, the amateur mindset. There's a few different definitions of the word amateur. One of the most basic definitions is amateur means a person who competes unpaid rather than on a professional basis. Does that make sense? So they don't have a sponsorship, they don't have a team, it's not their job, but they choose to compete anyways. And typically what that means is they're not good enough, right? Like if they were good enough, why wouldn't you cash out on it, right? Why wouldn't you get paid? Why wouldn't there be those benefits? The second definition is this word amateur has really come to mean in our culture a person who's incompetent or inept at a particular activity. So if somebody's ever messed up, you might say the phrase amateur move, right? Because what you're saying is you're not very good at what you're doing. Right? And that's kind of, so it's, in this sense, it's a little bit more negative than the first definition. But here's what I would say, I want to kind of like redeem this word amateur today for you, okay? Here's what I would say is the best definition, or at least the definition that I'm using today for the word amateur. The word amateur means a person who competes for joy and not as a job. It comes from the Latin amator, which means lover. Or you might be familiar with the Italian word, amore, right? It's this person who, they compete not because anyone's making them. They compete not because it's their job, not for the sponsorship, not for the Gatorade commercial or whatever. They compete simply because it's a joy for them. There's a longing. There's a desire. And that is a motivation that I believe is more powerful than those external factors. Here's your royalty check. Here's your brand deal. Here's your sponsorship. Here, you know, your coach is going to make you do this, right? That there's an internal element of this amateur mindset of learning to do something. I'll be honest about running. I'm an amateur, okay? Both in the sense that I'm unpaid because I'm not good enough to be a professional, but also because I just love it. I just enjoy it. Even when I look at that picture of me grimacing at mile 22 of a marathon, I'm like, I hate that moment and I love that moment. And it's really difficult to explain that to someone who's never been there, right? There's this element of, it's not my job, I'll never get paid, I'll never be, you know, a pro, but I'm still gonna do it. I pray that God helps keep my body going so that I can run to the day I die. I've literally prayed that prayer dozens of times. Because I get so much joy. There's this famous line from Chariots of Fire. Anyone see Chariots of Fire? Okay, that's your discipleship homework this week. Chariots of Fire. No, it's a phenomenal movie. Do, 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 do. Come on, you know the soundtrack. Okay. Chariots of Fire. There's this famous line where Eric Liddell, he's a Christian, and he has this conflict of like, yeah, it's beautiful. It actually is your homework. Find it somewhere. On a VHS near you. And he says, when I run, I feel the pleasure of God. He's Olympic medalist. So, you know, he's like elite athlete. And yet there's this element. See, the thing is, when somebody is a true amateur, not in the sense that they're not very good or they're really inept or incompetent, but when someone's a true amateur where they do something because they love it, for the love, for the joy, amateurs can accomplish great things. I want to show you a picture of one of the most famous examples of this. This is Roger Bannister. Maybe you've heard that name. For years, sports scientists believe that it was physiologically impossible to run under a 4-minute mile. People had gotten close every now and again, and yet there seemed to be this kind of invisible barrier. Well, Roger Bannister was a medical student who also happened to be one of the world's greatest runners at that time. And he just totally disregarded that barrier existed. And so he was like using his knowledge of medicine, he was self-trained, and he went to medical school. And then one day on May 6, 1954, after spending the day, you know, in his studies and in his doctorate training, he hopped on a train and he arrived at this track and he ran a 359.4 second mile. And after that, about 46 days later, another athlete ran under a 4-minute mile. And from there on, like now, it's like you a 4-minute mile is like okay, but you need to be like even further down. But he just totally shattered like this globally accepted notion. And he has on his, I don't know if you can see super well in that picture, but the athletic club that he ran for is the AAA, the Amateur Athletics Association. And I did a little bit of reading up on Roger Bannister. Even if you ask him about like his greatest accomplishments, which now we would say like breaking the 4-minute mile, he said his greatest accomplishments are actually the accomplishments he had in his medical career. And he just ran because he loved it. Isn't that a beautiful? Amateurs can actually accomplish great things. And this is not just something that used to happen before there was, you know, Gatorade sponsorship deals. Look at this guy today. This is a guy named Dylan Beard. In the Millrose Games this spring, the indoor track and season, it's a major event in New York City. He won the 60-meter hurdles in a time of 7.44, which is just a phenomenal time, and it was his best ever. It was his personal record, and you'll notice he doesn't have any logos or brands on his singlet right there because he works at a Walmart deli. And if you go back and watch like the interviews, the commentators were like speechless, like, who is this guy? He had a couple year college career, was okay, and then after he graduated college, no professional deals, no sponsorships. He pays out of pocket on the cheap seats on the airplane. He boards last. He works nights at a Walmart deli, slicing meat and mopping floors so that he can, during the day, train and work hard. And he blew away the professional field as a, what was he? As a amateur. Why would he keep running after his college career? Nobody wanted to pick him up. Nobody is paying him. He's paying to show up and run at races like this. He's doing it because he loves it. What if we were to adopt the amateur mindset as followers of Jesus? Here's a point for you today. We're all amateur Christians. I would argue there's no such thing as a professional Christian. No one's paying you to be here. In fact, the moment we think that there are like, you know, we're only doing it for the benefits, for the external motivation, I think we've kind of missed the point altogether. We follow Jesus with everything because he first loved us. Because of the love he's shown to us. And the reality is, and it doesn't mean it's always easy, but there is joy day by day, not just at the finish line. There's joy day by day in following Jesus. And sometimes you have to make it through those difficult miles, those difficult seasons, those difficult weeks and months of our lives following Jesus to really find that deeper joy. But this is a joy that's promised by Christ Jesus himself. In John chapter 15, he's talking about obeying him and that being a way that we show love for God is by obeying his commandments. And he says this, "These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." Why did Jesus endure the cross? For the joy set before him. Jesus says that joy can be yours. The joy that following him, taking up your cross, has purpose. God's going to use it. That there is joy in following Jesus. Would we be a church? We do it for the joy, for the love. Let's follow Jesus with everything, with passion, because he first loved us. I want to close with a quote. This is from the Rule of Benedict. The Benedictine rule, it governs many modern monastic societies around the world. It's one of the most well-known and famous ones, and it's a rule for a monastery is a list of rules, okay? It's a list of things you have to do, things you can't do, that sort of thing, and you wouldn't necessarily think about, I'm going to be a monk, and that's something that I really want to enjoy, you know? People kind of enter into monasticism because they kind of separate themselves from the worldly desires and pleasure, and yet, this is what Benedict writes at the end of his rule. He says this, "As we go forward in our life and faith, our hearts will expand, and we will run the way of God's commandments with an unspeakable sweetness of love. And I'm here to tell you from experience, not just experience as a runner, but experience as a follower of Jesus, that if today you would choose to keep going, not just to kind of limp along, and you would let go of whatever it is that's holding you back, those sins, those distractions that are hindering you from running free and following Jesus with everything, and you would just walk by the Holy Spirit, and you continue to run the way of God's commandments, you'll find this amateur mindset. You'll find the joy that's available to you in Christ, and your heart will begin to expand with an unspeakable sweetness of love. Let's stand and worship Him.
Thanks for tuning in to the Hill City Church podcast. You can find out more about our church at hillcityboise.org. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Hill City Boise. We hope this teaching has encouraged you and helps you follow Jesus with everything.